Your On the Mark podcast audio is coming up. On the Mark Online is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, the Auto Plaza, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and the Kia dealership, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
For being on the show today from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. In our business, he is top shelf. And we appreciate the extensive time he gave us today to talk about the greatest spectacle in racing, as his predecessor Sid Collins coined the phrase.
And if you missed any of Paul Page's interview or comments, you can go online to stevejonesshow.com after 5 and click on the podcast.
We're going to have Kurt Smith on later in the week, who wrote the book Voices of the Game, to talk about whether it's Bai Som, Harry Callis, Richie Ashburn, Bob Prince, Rosie Rosewell, Ernie Harwell, Vin Scully. I mean, he has written the broadcasting Bible on baseball broadcasting. We will have him on later in the week. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, later in the week. Coming up tomorrow, Josh Moyer of ESPN.com is going to join us. Charlie Wimbush is going to join us, who writes a blog for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He'll be on the show tomorrow. Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, is going to be on the show Thursday to talk about the business of sports. So we have a lot going on this week on the show. And the seventh and decided game between the Penguins and Rangers coming up tonight. See if the Penguins at home can survive this series after the Rangers have rallied back from 3-1 down to force the seventh and deciding game. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Don't forget, Kratzer Insurance has a very simple motto. Price and service mean everything to them because they know it means everything to you. Auto, home, life, business insurance, they cover it all. That's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Very pleased to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We are joined now by Kevin Herr, who has now had one of the great thrills of his broadcasting career.
Yes. Yes, it was. I enjoyed that interview with Paul Page. Now, like I said, he was the one I listened to and got me interested in IndyCar racing, just the way he called it. Yeah, he talked about it in one other interview, too, how he enjoys doing it on radio much more than television because he has the opportunity to really set the scene instead of the picture telling it for him.
I think almost all of us in broadcasting feel that way. Almost all of us in broadcasting, because I've done a lot of TV work, whether it's for Channel 3 here or WHVL or for the Big Ten Network. So I've done a lot of TV work in my lifetime. And TV works great. I mean, first of all, it's good work. It's good pay. It's great exposure. I mean, you get obviously much more exposure by being on TV. But from a broadcasting point of view, radio is so much more fun than television. It really is, because you are the picture. It's your words that are the brush that paints the picture. You are the graphics. You're the clock. You're the score. Hey, you're the information source. Hey, you're the one that makes it all up as it goes in front of you. That's your canvas. Verbally start painting. And I think almost anybody who does sports broadcasting will tell you that radio is more fun than TV. TV is more money and more exposure. TV is more recognition, without a doubt. But in terms of the medium that where it's just genuine, pure enjoyment and fun, for me personally, radio is, it can't be beat.
You know,
I like doing TV. I enjoy doing TV, believe me. But it's just nothing like broadcasting a game on radio.
But I think it's becoming a lost art now, because of the back and forth. Sometimes I think And I've never done the back and forth in the same game or in the same broadcast, but that has to be difficult because it really is like shifting gears in two different ways to call the same thing. I think you're getting a lot of...
I apologize. I'm a little confused as to what you said there.
No, no.
I'm sorry. What do you mean back and forth?
Well, because...
You mean the talking in your ear as you broadcast
TV? No.
TV,
the going back and forth from the radio side to the TV side. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about it from a listener standpoint. And you and I know it's a different broadcast when you're on radio and TV, but when you have like baseball, for instance, I hear a lot of those baseball broadcasters on the radio sound like they do on TV, and I feel like I'm missing out on something when I'm listening on the radio.
Yeah, this is something. Okay, that's a really good point. When I teach class, they have to do five projects, and two of the five projects are play-by-plays, and they have to be different sports. And one of the areas, and when we have Kurt Smith on Voices of the Game later in the week, that I am going to ask him about is the younger generation of broadcasters being influenced in style by TV. Because, you know, and that's not the fault of the TV, please don't, you know, but TV people, it's a different role. For the play-by-play announcer, the analyst is really on TV. The analyst is really a focal point because you can see what's happening. TV is a lot of traffic cop. You know, don't forget coming up tonight on 60 Minutes.
I honestly think TV is harder, Steve.
I don't think it's player identification, things like that. They're both easy. It's not.
Well, I always thought television was a little harder because it's easier to me to call everything that I'm seeing. Yet when you're doing television, you don't have to do that, so you have to downshift a little bit in what you're calling. But the problem, and what I'm seeing is I'm seeing the reverse. I'm seeing so many, and I think you're right. I think it has a lot to do with the television influence in young broadcasters now.
I think that's definitely happening.
You know, that they're doing a TV-style broadcast on radio instead of, you know, calling everything that's out there and painting the picture for me.
Yeah, I think anybody that has grown up in broadcasting and TV's been their base and then they shift to radio have trouble painting the picture. Now, let's take the reverse. I think Al Michaels is brilliant at what he does because he brings a lot of radio principles to TV. And I can hear it. When I listen to him, I can hear radio principles being done on TV. I mean, there's somebody who's taken the best of radio principles and applies it to television. I think the other part, too, it's more of an analyst medium. It's also more of a producer medium. The producer's the one that is in the announcer's ears and kind of taking them through. Now, during breaks, they're asking the announcers all the time, you know, where do you want to go? What replays do you want? Things like that. It's not a dictatorship. Really, really good producers want absolute input from the announcers during breaks. But in TV, you know that it's the analyst that takes you through stuff and that your job is to make sure that you set up traffic cop, make sure you have identifications done.
Traffic cop's a perfect definition and a description of the job there, because you're absolutely right. You know, read this promo, get it set here, lead, you know, take your analyst in this direction or what have you. Traffic cop's a very good analogy.
The producers I work with, and Tony DeSanti is probably, Tony DeSanti and Bill Amin are the two best producers that I've worked with, and both are outstanding. And, you know, we kind of kid around that. That's the terminology we use when we're doing a Big Ten Network broadcast. So, 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. Love to hear from you. We've talked about a variety of things today. Penn State Caravans, King of Prussia, coming up. Tomorrow is Scranton. And I talked to the Scranton people yesterday, and they were telling me that they have over 900, but that's all the building can hold. That they have turned away between 400 and 500 that wanted to be at the Scranton event tomorrow night. Amazing. Just amazing. So, and that's how popular this has been. Scranton's always been the number one stop anyway. And now they're going to go in there, and it'll be the number one attended spot again. So looking forward to that very, very much. Buzz in Northumberland. Hi, Buzz. How are you today?
Steve, sorry to hit you 2 days in a row here, but you touched on something that I've never understood. What does a producer do?
When you hear producer and director, Buzz, let's start with the director. The director is in charge of everything that you see. So they're in charge of all the camera people, sound, and so forth. So all the pictures you see, the director is in constant communication with all of his camera people. And then in the truck, it's the director selecting shot, 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 shot. The producer is in charge of the announcers. So he'll be the one, the producer, that's in communication. So say I'm doing a game. Say Jack Ham and I are doing a game together on TV. He'll say, Steve, Jack, replay coming up on whatever of the last play. Steve, take us to break. Then we'll be in the break. Steve, Jack, what did you see? What replay package? Or they'll say, hey, we put together a package on Christian Hackenberg's great plays. We got five of them here. We're going to show it to you now. The producer is the one that's in constant contact with the announce team, while the director is in constant contact with all the cameras selecting all the shots.
I had no idea. That's really interesting. I didn't realize. I thought once the game began, the producer was out. I didn't realize it was an ongoing thing.
Oh, it's an ongoing thing. The producer is the in fact, they're very rarely are the announcers in contact with the director. Very rare. Okay, it's the producer that is the conduit between the truck and the announcer, while the director is the conduit between the cameras, the sound people, and the truck.
Well, how about in radio? What does producer do in radio?
Sits there and watches Jack and me work.
How do I get a job like that?
Give me a call. I'll hook you up.
What they do as producer in radio, for example, we talk about Jeff Tarman and his job. There's X amount of commercials that we have to get in during the course of a broadcast. In football, I think there's four per quarter. Then, of course, there's the halftime and so forth. Jeff makes sure that I'm always aware of how many more that we have to get into the broadcast. Also, he'll hand me a card and he'll say, hey, you have to read this now as to whatever it happens to be. We get to halftime and go, okay, Steve, stat packages first. Here's the card. Boom. Okay, here's the highlight package. Here's the card because that's sponsored. We get to the post game. We have the run of the game, the pass of the game, the thrill of the game, the whatever the game, you know. And he's the one that it keeps track and keeps it all in order so that we don't have to worry about any of that. He really is the one that runs the broadcast in terms of the order that you hear in the broadcast. Without them, we're meandering all over the place, and when the broadcast is over with, Jack and I probably, oh, gee, you mean we forgot eight of the cards?
That's amazing. I mean, it always seems so smooth. You know, you really never, as an observer or listener on the radio, you never really realize anybody's in that capacity. So thank you. I've always wondered about that.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's why, for example, I try to make sure as often as I can that people understand the incredible high value and regard that we have for Roger Corey, the incredible high value and regard we have for Jeff Tarman, Lauren Crispell on the sideline. You know, Jack and I obviously get a lot of credit for whatever, but without them, there is no credit to hand out, believe me.
Well, that's great. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Buzz. Very good question, by the way. All right. It's 800-795-9565. Time to take a break. For Kevin, again, I received a couple texts on my phone here from Paul Page, basically asking you to stop calling him.
I just texted him. I didn't call. Okay. All right. I called once. I said... Do you have an opportunity that you might need some help on a Sunday coming up here? And I didn't hear anything back yet.
Let's take a break on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service and price mean something to you, well, guess what? It means everything to them. That's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Very pleased to be joined by Kevin Hurd today at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Love to hear from you at 800-795-9565. By the way, Buzz, you can call any day you want. The line is always open for any of you out there to talk with us at 800-795-9565. Penn State football, by the way. Northwestern's going to be a noon kickoff for the homecoming game, which will be September 27th at Beaver Stadium.
Wow, that's early.
Huh?
I thought what? Homecoming games were always in October.
Penn State only has two games in October.
Well, I'm just saying, it just that seems early.
Penn State has two open dates in October and two games in October. They have one game in August, four in September, 2 in October, and 5 in November. If you put it on September 27th, which is only a few days before October begins.
That's true.
You can then, weather-wise, have a better shot at a lot of activity surrounding homecoming, as opposed to, you really don't want to do it for the Ohio State game on October 25th. You really don't want to do it then. That's a night game. And Maryland on November 1st, boy, now it's getting, it's November, and it's very unpredictable in terms of how cold it's going to be. You could, November 1st could be a day in the 50s, low 60s, or it could be a day that's in the low 30s. You don't know. September 27th, you get a better shot at warmer weather to go with all the activities surrounding homecoming, including the parade, which, of course, is the night before on the 26th. Yeah, it could rain. I understand that. But I'm saying in terms of the warmth, that part of it, better shot of that in the last weekend of September than the first weekend of October. Plus, also, you're talking about if you want to have it November 1st, what's the issue you run into there? You'd have the parade on Friday night, October 31st. That's Halloween. So you don't want to run into that. So that's what homecoming game this year will be that. So the known kickoffs are Central Florida at 8:30 in the morning. TBA on Akron. Rutgers is at 8 at night at Rutgers. UMass is TBA. Northwestern is noon. At Michigan is 7. Ohio State at home is 8. And then the rest, Maryland, at Indiana, Temple, at Illinois, and Michigan State are all TBAs as of right now. So that's where we are.
I did a little bit of research here this afternoon based on the NFL draft and the odds of going to and or winning the Super Bowl in 2015 based on draft picks. Remember how you said you felt the Raiders had a really good draft?
Mm-hmm.
Odds pickers did not think that the Raiders had a really good draft. They went from 75-1 after free agency to 100-1 after the draft. The odds of the Patriots getting to the Super Bowl, who I thought had a bad draft, went from 9-1 at the end of free agency to 15-2. They actually improved. I don't know if that means anything, but I thought it was interesting. Giants stayed the same at 40-1. Eagles dropped to 22-1, and the Steelers are 33-1. Redskins, by the way, are still at 50-1. They stayed the same.
Fabulous.
Just found it interesting.
Fabulous.
All I can say is fabulous.
It means absolutely nothing.
True.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this beautiful Tuesday, brought to you by Crosser Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto Home Life Business Insurance. Service and price means something to you. It means everything to them. That's Crosser Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. They have served the Valley for more than 50 years. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I don't know if any of you had a chance to watch the Anderson Cooper interview with Donald Sterling last night, but wasn't that one incredible roadmap to disaster?
Wow.
It was like watching MapQuest put out by somebody who wants to take you down a bad road. It was rambling. It was confusing. It was, and then you can tell just as a gut feeling, but don't you get the feeling that he feels Magic Johnson was behind some things, because he went out and he lambasted Magic Johnson in the course of this interview. But he did say one thing in the interview that does bear a follow-up, which I found to be, it was kind of slipped in there and nobody's really talked about it. But he did say in the interview at one point that when this first started, Magic Johnson called him. And Anderson Cooper said, well, no, I mean, did you call him? He goes, I don't have anybody's number, which in all likelihood he does not. He probably just says to his secretary, you know, get me Adam Silver on the phone, and she's got the number. He doesn't have it. He says, I don't have anybody's number. He said, he called me and told me to wait a week before saying anything. Okay, that at least, despite all the other incredibly bizarre, ignorant things that were said during the course of this interview, that at least bears a follow-up as to A, did that call take place, and why did he tell him to wait a week? That at least, as an interviewer, and you have a sit-down with Magic Johnson, those are legitimate questions. When he said this, okay, you know, and let him say, didn't happen, he's nuts, or here's why, you know. But it bears at least asking. I heard that and I went, okay, why did he call you? That would be one. And two, why did he tell you to wait a week? That's odd. Now, everything else that was said in there, I kind of sat back and went, oh my goodness, it's like watching a Union Pacific and an Amtrak on the same track going at each other. You're just waiting for the collision to see how big the fireball is. That was
beyond bizarre.
Yeah. And I watched all of it.
I didn't see all of it. I couldn't watch any more of it. It just got so it got so strange. And if you're Anderson Cooper, you're sitting there going, you know what? I don't have to really lead this guy in any direction at all. I just ask him a question and he'll stick his foot in his mouth.
Okay, I would like to see the cutaways on Anderson Cooper because it probably is a two camera. Like, at some point it was so awkward. I could picture it like looking at the wall, looking at the drapes, looking at the floor. Like, right. Where are we going here? It was bizarre. I mean, he does apologize. He does say it repeatedly. He repeatedly calls his remarks stupid. He does do all of that. He lets her off the hook repeatedly. And then he'll say, Magic's great, and then he'll tell you Magic does nothing.
That's the one that really baffled me, Steve. He spent time explaining how great Magic was and then how he's so bad for kids in L.A. as a role model.
Yeah. It's like you sense that he blames him somewhere along the line for allowing this to happen. I don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea. All I know is the one line that he threw in there, that A, Magic called him, okay, and that B, told him to wait a week before he said something. Basically, like, you know, we'll sort this out. Something like that. I think that's whatever. Where I sat back and went, okay. Now, are these the ramblings of an 80-year-old man? In the pressure of all this, is he speaking out of turn? Or actually, did he get called? And was he actually told by... I mean, at least ask the questions of Magic Johnson as to, okay, did you call him? And why did you call him? And he says that you told him to wait a week. Did you say that? You did? Okay. Why did you tell him to say that? Because you were on TV the next day with Bill Simmons, Sage Steele, Jalen Rose, and Doug Collins. Said the next day you were on with them. You know, see where I'm going here? And it could be like, I never called him. Okay. Or it could be, yeah, I did call him, but I didn't tell him to wait a week. you know what I mean? But I think you have to at least ask the questions. Since it was thrown out there by Donald Sterling. That was one bizarre deal. Whew. Wow. One interesting note. I was watching... I don't like watching news people comment on sports. As you know, I've often talked about... that sports people commenting on news or news people commenting on sports is not a good mix. And I was watching yesterday, it was the 5 on Fox, and it was Bob Beckel, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Dana Perino, I believe Brian Kilmeade, and Eric Bolling. Okay. And they were talking about Michael Sam. And you could just flat out tell, I mean, they may be football fans, but they don't get how it works. that Bob Beckel was saying, you know, that Michael Sam being drafted in the seventh round was an incredible injustice, and it was because he's essentially because he's gay, he didn't get drafted in the first two rounds. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Now, Brian Kilmeade, who does know something about sports, did try to explain the combine measurables on him, and Beckel was having nothing on it. Well, if that's the case, then how does Bob Beckel feel about Jackson Jeffcoat? I mean, you do know that Jackson Jeffcoat was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, and he didn't get drafted. Okay? I don't like news people commenting on sport when they don't know what they're talking about. I mean, it'd be the same as me trying to talk about the inner workings of the Pentagon. I mean, Michael Sam was drafted about the spot people thought he would be drafted in. I mean, every single draft, you know, combine in combination with his individual workouts based on his strength, speed, size, so forth. He is, unfortunately for him, in football language, he is a classic tweener. He's really, you know, not quite the size of a defensive end and a little bit too big to be an outside linebacker. Now, unfortunately for Michael Sam, here's the unfortunate part. One of the strengths of the Rams is defensive end and pass rusher. I mean, they've got good ones. But just because you've won an award in college football does not mean it translates to the next level. Okay? Gino Toretta was a wonderful college quarterback. He won the Heisman Trophy. I don't know if you've ever met or talked with Gino Toretta. He's a great guy, and he does a lot of really nice work on Sirius Now plus games. But it never translated to the NFL. Danny Werfel won the Heisman Trophy. It didn't translate to the NFL. Well, Jackson Jeffcoat of the University of Texas was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, just like Michael Sam was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Well, Michael Sam got drafted. Jefferson Jeffcoat didn't get drafted. So the argument that, hey, he was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, prejudice must have put him in the seventh round. Well, okay, Jackson Jeffcoat, who, by the way, has NFL lineage. His father was a really, really good player for the Dallas Cowboys, Jim Jeffcoat. He didn't get drafted by anybody. Now he signed as a free agent. But he was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. And that's what the news guys don't understand. Just because you win an award doesn't mean it translates to the measurables on the next level. The bottom line is, I think it's great, and he's going to get his shot to play, and I think it's great, a shot to make the team, because he's a guy that plays really, really hard. He plays really hard. He's a big-time effort guy. But, I mean, again, Jackson Jeffcoat was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. I don't hear anybody saying, hey, wait a minute, he got ripped off. Okay? I'm happy for Michael Sam. I think it's a great, great time and a great moment. And now he has a great opportunity to make the St. Louis Rams. Great opportunity. And I don't know who picked up Jackson Jeffcoat. I mean, Jackson Jeffcoat not only was the Defensive Player of the Year in the Big 12, he also won the Ted Hendricks Award as the top defensive end in the country. He didn't get drafted. Now, who he signed with, I don't know. I'd have to look that up. But I'm just using that as a perfect example of, just because you won an award doesn't mean, okay? Bottom line is, you're looking for performance. Okay? And Jackson Jeffcoat ended up signing a free agent deal with Seattle. with the Seahawks. I'm just, you know, that's just an example. Ted Hendricks Award winner, best defensive end in the country. Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Not drafted. Why? Because they didn't like how he combined out. 6'5", 245. NFL lineage, the whole deal. So let's look at his draft profile. This is Jackson Jeffcoat's draft profile. And when you look at his draft profile as to what he does, okay, 4'6", 340. Really good. Did 18 reps of the bench press. Okay. Weaknesses, needs more time in the weight room, as evidenced by 18 bench press reps at the combine. Underdeveloped lower body, tight hips, slowed by injuries throughout his career, lacks base strength to set the edge, gets rooted out of the hole versus the double team, cannot drop his hips or turn the corner, very inconsistent effort, average competitiveness, draft projection rounds 5 or 6. Bottom line, developmental 3-4 rush linebacker. Now this is Jackson Jeffcoat. Okay, that's Jackson Jeffcoat, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Okay, now, okay, you're saying, okay, well, all right. Now, Michael Sam was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Okay, so you're saying, what does his draft profile look like? And again, the draft profile I use is by, it's from the NFL. Okay. So here's the NFL draft profile on Michael Sam. Now, he's the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. And, okay, now I mentioned, remember I mentioned Jeffcoat's a 4'6", 340, right? Correct? You're still there, right?
That's what you said, yes.
Yeah, Michael Sam was 4'9", 1. Jeffcoat did 18 reps, Sam did 17. Okay, shuttle time is 4'7", and that's no better than okay. So here are his weaknesses. Lacks burst and acceleration off the edge to get a step on blockers and finish. Sack production was the result from effort, which I talked about, high effort guy, and also from players being flushed to him from the other side. He is not a creative pass rusher. Doesn't have a lot of speed, power, or move, or bend. Average hip flexibility, struggles clearing his hips at the top of the rush, trimming the corner, adequate anchor versus the run, is late to disengage blocks, does not strike with authority, inconsistent tackler. Late bloomer who could require time to adapt to the pro game. Poor combine showing with 17 reps, and his vertical jump was 25 and a half, which they referred to as, quote, abysmal. Draft projection. Round 7 or priority free agent. Bottom line, could be a productive 4-3 weak side rusher who came on as a senior and made his last season his best. Could fit most ideally in a 3-4 outside linebacker in a zone blitzing scheme. So the reason I read those two to you is that if anybody starts saying that the league or those passed on him, it's prejudicial and so forth, okay? He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Well, I started out by reading to you the profile of the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year and the Ted Hendricks Award winner as the top defensive end in the country, who did not get drafted. The NFL is a different animal than college football in terms of what they're looking for. So just because you quote win the Heisman Trophy, okay, it doesn't mean you're the first quarterback or the first player taken in the draft. Johnny Manziel was the second quarterback taken in the draft. Blake Bortles was first. All right? James Winston, of course, is the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. Okay? Geno Toretta, Danny Werfel. You want to list the Heisman Trophy winners that were considered to be the best in the game in that particular season? They couldn't cut it in the NFL? It's a long list. That's because it's a different game. All right? And that's why news commentators shouldn't comment on sports just like sports commentators should not comment on news. Coming up in a few moments, we'll talk about how to straighten out the Pentagon on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tomorrow, Josh Moyer of ESPN.com is going to join us. We'll talk about the caravan stop tomorrow night in Scranton. We'll talk with Josh Moyer of ESPN.com about that. Charlie Wimbush is going to be on to talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll discuss that with him as well. Later in the week, we'll have Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. We will ask about the Verizon deal with IndyCar, which was very late in the game, and his perspective as to what they can and cannot get out of that deal. And then we'll talk to Tony about that. Kurt Smith, who wrote the book Voices of the Game, is going to be joining us later in the week. And Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. So very active week coming up for us here on the show. And our thanks to Paul Page, not just in auto racing, but in broadcasting, one of the true pros. And our thanks to him. He carved out 20 minutes of his time to join us in the opening hour of the show, and you can go to stevejonesshow.com and check out our podcast to listen to that interview with Paul Page. So we have a lot coming up tomorrow and really a lot the rest of the week.
Thursday.
Heading into the weekend. I know you're all excited about the Walter Mitty movie. So.
Well, no, that's not what we're going to have on Thursday. Thursday at 3:35 we'll have Vince Welsh.
That's all IndyCar all the time.
Pardon?
All IndyCar all the time.
Listen, it's only another week yet until the July race at Pocono.
We'll also be talking sports.
Keeping you covered of all sports, even the one Steve doesn't follow.
I don't know. I think if you listen to the interviews, I follow it a little more than you think.
You do. You do.
I like Vince. He's a good guy. He's on Thursday?
Thursday. Scott Goodyear looks like next week.
Wow, like Scott a lot, too. No, three great guests on the greatest spectacle in racing. And all three of them, by the way, have something else in common. They've all called the FBI about Kevin.